welcome to the multiverse of marketing. I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is J.R. Sweeney.
Hello! I am here to talk about Transformers yet again.
Transformers!
Yeah.
The third episode in this really long series.
Well, it'll be the last time until, you know, whoever it is next, you know, chokes and dies, and then we can do a postmortem on them.
Transformers, you can always keep beating this dead horse.
Boy, okay. How's it going?
Good, actually. As negative as that seemed, I had a lot of fun reading some of the issues for this, and so I'm hyped and jazzed. I actually read and then reread the Megatron origin for this.
Yeah.
Because it was like so good. And just like, ah, oh, I'm having fun. I'm having fun. So I've been having fun.
There is a lot of, you know, so we're talking about IDW this time. And IDW, there are troughs and there are peaks. The peaks, look, I will say that I think there are two types of people who read Transformers comics. I think there are comic geeks who happen to read Transformers, or, you know, what have you, but they read a lot of other comics. And then inevitably
that happens as a comic geek. You just see constant Transformers comics. If you talk to enough comic geeks, someone's inevitably going to be like, do you read Transformers? And so it comes up. It's the same way as how, like, sometimes you'll find yourself just reading all of Iron Fist from the 1970s. Sure. Why? I don't know. I don't even like this character. But someone asked me about it.
Yeah.
And now I'm stuck here reading about Danny Rand.
So you have the comic geeks who read Transformers, and then you have the Transformers geeks that read the Transformer comics. And I will say, in my experience, that the Transformers fans who read the comics have a higher estimation of them overall than comics geeks who also read Transformers. But there is some really good stuff here. There is some stuff that actually brings some depth to a lot of this. So yeah, that's what we're talking about this time. The IDW run started in 2005, and there were some fits and starts. You know, they started doing straight Generation One stuff with Infiltration and all of that, but then they also did a brief Beast Wars miniseries and a sequel that were a little pointless, I think.
So kind of like Beasties was. It's just a little pointless. Well, just a little pointless. It's okay.
No,
it's fun though.
No, I mean, even it was a Beast Wars comic that took place in between moments of the Beast Wars series.
Oh, so completely irrelevant.
Featuring a bunch of characters who were never used in the show. And it was just kind of like,
why?
We're here.
Why would you do that?
We're here too, kind of. And it was just like, okay.
Like, there is... So even if you did a one-page, like, back panel at the end of someone else's comic of just, like, Rat Trap, Rhinox, Dinobot. And it's like the three fucking stooges. No one else is ever in it. Mm-hmm. It's just those three. Rat Trap, Dinobot, and Rhinox have to fix a sink. Hilarity ensues.
Sure.
Why the hell aren't they mining this? Or weren't they mining this?
Well, they did eventually. Here in the last year, right before the license ran out, they did start a for real Beast Wars comic. But even that just wound up being sort of a soft reboot.
Sad.
It's not bad, but it does wind up sort of being... It does sort of end up ending abruptly.
And what with the cancellation of the IP?
Well, yeah. But then also, you know, they had a series that they were going to do called Evolutions that I think they only ever did Hearts of Steel, which was set during like the American West, and stuff like that. But mostly it was kind of canceled after that. It had originally been intended as a series of alternate universe takes on Transformers, but just never went anywhere. But the main continuity, I think, is what's really interesting, because you can get hung up on the Regeneration one where they continued the Marvel comics or anything else. But really, what we're here for is the main continuity, and that is surprisingly good in places. So it started back in 2005 with a series of miniseries that had the Transformers on Earth yet again, and introduced characters that were creatively named like Hunter Onion. His last name was Onion with an apostrophe in there.
I mean, like, you know, it from the George Lucas School of Creativity.
Yeah.
And we all know how much that shit's worth now.
Well, yeah, it's the, what was it in episode 7, they had L.O. Asty. It's just like, come on, man. I know that wasn't Lucas, but I'm just saying that style of naming in Star Wars. So it started kind of slow and really bog standard, you know, doing generation one, but slightly grittier. You know, Hunter gets turned into a headmaster against his will. Humans capture Sunstreaker and cut off his head and make a bunch of headmaster clones of his body. And all of this shit that it's just kind of like, yeah, okay. I'll be honest, during a lot of this period, I was tuning in and out because a lot of this was Simon Furman again. And I was just like,
yeah, it's like nothing has changed, really.
Yeah, no, it hadn't really. But then you get to All Hail Megatron, and the benefits and drawbacks of All Hail Megatron can be endlessly debated. But what winds up happening here is it's a bit of a change in that we abandon a lot of the shit they were doing. And just sort of say, okay, fresh start here. This is what we're doing. That led to some questionable stuff. Optimus Prime surrenders to the humans because he was just like, our race killed like millions of people on this planet. And it's like, Yeah, but you didn't. That was Megatron. Let him turn himself in. Why are you constantly doing stupid shit like this, you asshole? Really, where it gets interesting, the point at which we actually start doing some stuff, was later on. They ended the war. They did a whole thing. It was Heart of Darkness, where Galvatron and a bunch of bots who disappeared millions of years ago going on an expedition return. There's Nova Prime, they're all corrupted, blah blah blah. Who cares? But the ultimate result of all of this is that the war ends, which is not something that you usually see in this. Usually it's just war and war and war and more war.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty self-perpetuating storyline and has been since its creation
Yeah.
to self-perpetuate toys that kids are meant to like fight with.
Yeah.
That's what they are. And so it to print an end to the war, it seems like an obvious paradigm shift, but it's a massive one.
Yeah, and it led to some really interesting things. Now, most people will say that the highlight of this period was the Lost Light storyline. And I'm not going to deny that. I think the major reason that the Lost Light stuff holds up reasonably well is because it is much more character focused. They were able to do a lot of character work that the other series have generally not been able to do, because they're trying to cram in every fucking character possible, and because there's usually, this person will have a moment where they get to shine, but really, then they're back into crowd scenes. Lost Light, it was following the end of the war. Rodimus and a bunch of people set off to try and find the Knights of Cybertron. Who cares? But mostly it is just a predominantly set cast. You had a core cast that they focused on, with other people kind of coming and going. There was a lot of humor, but more than anything, you really got to get a feel for the characters. Additionally, during this time in the other title they had running, they had Bumblebee, Starscream, and Metal Hawk from the Japanese continuity trying to create a new government on Cybertron from all of these groups that really wanted nothing to do with each other. And they were finding groups who had left Cybertron millions and millions of years ago and being like, hey, come home and have a say in what happens.
I'm trying to picture Starscream as a diplomat.
Well, he continue, don't get me wrong, he continues to be Starscream. The thing about it is, a lot of what happens with Starscream during this period is just him trying to get people to take him seriously. Him trying to get
Okay.
people to pay attention to what he says, and not always succeeding, so he has to be a duplicitous fuckhead. But there was still some interesting stuff. I mean, he does a whole thing where he turns Metal Hawk into a martyr and things of that nature. It wasn't bad, but the Lost Light stuff is better. But overall, I think the major thing is just there was a lot done during this period that actually, you know, in Megatron Origin, they humanize Megatron somewhat in that he is.
And like, so like, you know, and this is the one I most wanted to talk about. Absolutely. Because like, I've read these comics off and on a little bit, like here and there, to try over the years to like, you never know, dig into it, you'll find a good story. And I know from Beast Wars, that's, you know, Transformers can be a great story if you let it all pan out and you humanize your characters. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, reading it was just like, it was so wonderful and refreshing. It's not just like a good Transformers book. It's a good comic book. It's not overly complicated. It's the most obvious shift in a villain perspective you can do, you know, just like, okay, what if maybe the bad guy has a point? Ooh, touche, you know, but like, there's a reason Magneto is no longer just a cackling would-be dictator as he was in the 60s. He's a complicated anti-hero, you know, like rights protesting defender of his ethnicity, people, what have you, the, you know, the X gene people. And it makes for a more interesting character. If you can, you know, sympathize and empathize with the cackling bad guy, then it makes every cackling bad guy thing he does all worse. And oh my God, this was handled, I think, so well.
Megatron is really so well. One of the standouts in the 2005 IDW continuity, simply because, you know, they get into a lot more of Cybertron's past in the Lost Light stuff, because you actually in Megatron Origin, it is just the Autobots are oppressive, but in Lost Light, you actually find out specifics about a lot of the stuff that was happening at that time. You had the functionalists, where your value as a citizen was determined solely by your alt mode.
Jesus.
You know, there was one of the things I enjoy is the fact that there was an attempt to explain characters like Whirl and Shockwave, who have just the single eye in a featureless face. Whirl has straight up claws, and Shockwave, of course, is missing a hand, and things like that. Well, in that, you actually find out that one of the things that they would do was take body parts if you pissed off the government. They would take your face, and they would, in Whirl's case, he was a watchmaker, and they took his hands and face. You know, things like that. Shockwave, you come to find out,
bastards,
when you see in the flashbacks that Optimus Prime was a cop before he became Prime, he was working with this senator, who they do not name, for a very long time, until eventually, after quite some time, the government takes him, fucks with his head, strips him of emotion, and takes his face and hands. And you find out that the senator's name was Shockwave, that he was actually an idealistic friend of Optimus Prime's who was using his power to try to make things better. And the government took that all away. and things like that, and all of this stuff that actually built a cohesive world that makes sense. You know, the Decepticons calling themselves Decepticons makes sense in the context of Megatron being a revolutionary whose slogan is "You are being deceived." And so, you know, that whole thing of like, why would anyone trust Decepticons? They're called Decepticons. Why do you keep listening to them? Well, that's where the name ostensibly came from in this universe. And
right, and like there's little things, because like it's easy enough to treat characters who are part of a group called the Decepticons as just like one mass, but they give every character a reason to be a Decepticon. Like, they're not all just like, yeah, Megatron's right. Yeah, let's be bastards. Well, they all have like a personal reason for it.
Did you read anything with Drift in it?
I don't believe so.
Drift is a character that when he was introduced seemed like the absolute worst, because he was a sports car with like kanji on the side, who when he transformed he had like swords, and it was just like a whole lot of you know, very like, okay, we get it, he's really cool, if we agree will you make him go away? But
is he a Tokyo Drift joke?
Yeah.
God.
But okay, but then. Over the course of things, you find out who he is. And it turns out that at the start of the war, his name was Deadlock. And he was down and out. He was a junkie that had been left behind by Cybertronian society. And when Megatron started the Decepticons, Deadlock became a true believer, and he was like one of the worst Decepticons. He was murdering left and right because he well and truly believed in what they were doing. Eventually, he was taken in by some followers of the Knights of Cybertron, who helped him temper his rage, and he eventually renamed himself Drift and became an Autobot. But you know, he's a character that as you learn more about him, you're like, yeah, I get it, does not excuse any of the stuff you did, but like you see him and he has been completely fucked over by Autobot society, so his becoming a Decepticon makes perfect sense. And so, you know, in the wake of the war ending, there's some really interesting stuff that starts to happen. There's a Decepticon who becomes a stand-up comedian. yeah, like, they're just like, okay, I don't know what... anybody want to hear some jokes? Like,
yeah, it's like, I'm not evil. I was fighting for my rights.
Yeah.
So now now that the war is over, and I guess I get to live, you know, and be myself and whatever. What is it that I actually want to do millions of years ago?
Yeah. And, you know, in Megatron's case, it's interesting because he surrenders, which comes as a blow to a lot of Decepticons. And he winds up being aboard the they basically commute his trial, and he winds up serving on board the Lost Light looking for the Knights of Cybertron as part of his, you know, I don't want to say sentence because he's never actually sentenced. It's we can't have you around when we're trying to rebuild. So just go out there and get out of our face. And so what's interesting in all of that is you find out there is the Decepticon Justice Division, who are basically they're essentially Decepticon bureaucrats, but their job is to go around sanctioning people who betray the Decepticon cause. And here again, they are hardline Decepticons. And so when Megatron surrenders, he then moves to the top of their list. And that becomes a whole thing toward the latter part of that run before they reboot it. But what's interesting is they have a run-in with the Necrobot, who is somebody that goes around cataloging all of the Cybertronians that die. And they see his memorial garden effectively, where everyone has a pedestal. If there is a hologram of the Cybertronian there, that means they're dead. But everyone has a pedestal already. And surrounding the pedestal are all of these pink flowers that represent everyone they've killed. And you see Megatron's pedestal, and it is just a single island out in a field with a sea of pink flowers around it. And, you know, and you actually have Megatron kind of reckoning with what he did during the war, which is not something I ever thought I'd see.
Right? Having him have to accept that he's a war criminal and then face that. That's, again, these are toys that were meant to be played by going smash, 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 smash.
Yeah. And they are, it's like, what are we doing?
if the reboot didn't occur and they didn't then lose the contract, I could see that eventually leading to like a very special issue where he comes back and it's like him atoning for his atrocities among other people, and a couple of like his victims being like, no, I won't take it, and like the death of Megatron, finally someone assassinates him.
Yeah,
you know, it's just it's amazing that they did that. Like, again, these comics did not have to go so hard.
Yeah. And then they introduced a lot of interesting things, like the Conjunx Endura, which is basically romantic Cybertronian relationships.
Neat.
They introduced trans characters initially not well. RC is not great at first because...
Wait, RC is trans?
Yes.
Huh.
It is not well handled initially because basically what they did to begin with was... Gender did not exist for Transformers. RC was an experiment wherein someone was taken and forcibly turned into a fembot, and it drove her crazy for a while. And it's not good. They do better later. They introduce in Lost Light Anode, who is legitimately, like, in terms of, this is not a character where it was done to her. Anode was a character who was just like, you know, this isn't really me. I'm going to become more me, which you'd think for a species like this, isn't that big a deal? I mean,
right. Seems pretty goddamn easy compared to what I have to fucking put up with.
Right. It seems like the kind of thing of whoever you are, it is as simple as choosing a chassis. I mean,
yeah,
that's all it is. But
They do upgrades and like look changes all the goddamn time.
Right. The weird thing about the RC thing is that they then wind up introducing just women Transformers. And it's like, wait, the whole thing was there were no women. Like, what are you doing? But
retcon.
Yeah.
Retcon. But yeah, like it's in the name, Transformers. Come on.
Yeah. But, you know, they wound up, there's all this stuff like one percenters, which is all about your spark. Like certain people have blue sparks, and then there are certain people who have green sparks. There are people that were cold constructed who are ostensibly not naturally occurring Transformers. They are people who were built, and things like that. You know, there were a lot of attempts to flesh out this world in ways that had not been done to the same extent. Not all of them succeeded, but there was some really good there.
I mean, that they tried instead of just pumping out the same monotonous thing.
Yeah. And, you know, ultimately, when you try, there are going to be failures. That's par for the course. I would rather they try and fail occasionally than not try at all.
And, like, this is comics. All failures eventually become the foundation of some other better story that reexamines them. I mean, you know, the Clone Saga was an incredible failure. Incredible failure. And yet, it is so foundational to so many better Spider-Man stories. And, yeah. Like, how much money has Marvel made off this failure?
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. So much lessons so that learned. They keep doing it again over and over.
Yeah.
But yeah. And, you know, they did in the comics the death of Optimus Prime. And in this case, he didn't actually die. It just became like a metaphorical death wherein he gave up being Optimus Prime and went back to being Orion Pax because he wasn't sure about much of anything anymore.
Boo. And I only boo that because it's false advertising. That clearly is the Transformer of Tomorrow by Alan Moore. Sure. And that's what the joke should have been. Not like the death of him. Don't oversell. Have it as a reference, an overt reference to, like, he's hanging it up the way Superman did.
Yeah, but I think, you've got to bear in mind that fandoms have certain expectations. When you say, with Optimus Prime, there is the expectation you're going to do a big death at some point.
We demand to see a corpse!
Basically, I mean, it's how many times has Optimus Prime died in different continuities?
Somewhere out there is a continuity where Optimus Prime is Bruce Wayne's father.
Oh, God. But because of that, then you do the death of Optimus Prime, you subvert that. So it, in the context of the fandom, it makes sense. There were occasional times where they started adding unnecessary shit toward the end of the original 2005 continuity. They started throwing in fucking Micronauts and Action Man and Visionaries and Rom the Space Knight and G.I. Joe, of course, Mask, all of this stuff all became part of a single continuity. And so you wound up with stuff like Transformers versus Visionaries and stuff like that. And it's just, it's really annoying because, you know, if you're a Transformers fan, crossovers with G.I. Joe are part and parcel of the whole thing, whatever. But when you are strictly a Transformers fan, to suddenly have all of this continuity from some fucking dude you care nothing about, you know, it's just like, oh, here's Action Man, he's gonna do some stuff. I don't care. I don't give a rat's. What makes you? I don't read Transformers for the humans, much less this human. I don't know who the fuck this guy is. Stop it. But anyway.
Yeah. And if I recall at the time, because this was around when the G.I. Joe movies were coming out, but before the Bayformers. And the idea was if the G.I. Joe films do better, they would start putting out a shared universe film. So you would get G.I. Joe meets Transformers, G.I. Joe meets and Transformers meet Mask, G.I. Joe and Transformers and Mask meet Micronauts. And like, that's how they would have rolled out, even before Marvel, a series of shared universes.
I will point out, G.I. Joe, the live action movies, came after Bayformers.
Really? The first one came after Bayformers?
G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, was 2009, whereas the first Michael Bay Transformers movie was 2007.
For some reason, I remember it being like 2006. That's odd.
Yeah, it was Transformers first. But yeah, no, they're... you are correct that there was a shared universe planned, and supposedly still maybe, but they keep
I mean that's got to be pushing the dream it forever off, you know.
They keep putting it off. You know, I enjoy the MCU, but the thing that will always damn the MCU is the fact that they convinced everyone they could have a shared movie universe, that you could just throw together a cinematic universe and, you know, suddenly you've got like that Mummy movie with Tom Cruise just cramming in all of these Easter eggs for movies that never fucking happened. And it's just like, no, guys, no.
Don't do it, guys. Don't try to do it, please. But it's kind of like the Great Trap. They achieve something, and now they get to sit above the trap, watching everyone fall into it. They don't even have to compete anymore. They just like keep doing what they do and watch people fall into the fucking trap.
Yep. But
the only one who's been able to climb out of it is like Godzilla and the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. Fast and the Furious. God. Okay. But ultimately.
And also, where's that crossover? Fast and the Furious Transformers. Come the fuck on.
But unfortunately, the good times had to come to an end. They did Unicron and ended that universe. And then did a reboot in 2019, which has only been going for a few years. I haven't read any of it. The only thing I've read, because by the end, I think within the last few years of the 2005 continuity, by that time I was kind of done with all the bullshit in the fandom. So I was sort of moving away from all of that anyway. I had since gone back and finished reading up through the end of that universe. The only thing I've read since was they recently did a miniseries called Last Bot Standing, which is basically at the end of the Transformers universe, like Hot Rod is the last Autobot. And there again, you know, I've talked to you about, I love the irony of them, that they just cannot change. And that's really what Last Bot Standing is. Hot Rod has basically shut himself down and is being used as a glorified horse cart for this family on this random planet when a Transformer lands there scouting for some of the last dregs of the Cybertronian race. And conflict begins anew because they just can't fucking help themselves. And that's about as good a send off as you can get. It's just like, it's never going to change. Not really. So,
I mean that, yeah, that's, it's brilliant. It's a thematic cycle. So you can just repeat right back around to where you were. You know, it's a great message. War never changes.
And these warriors, especially, they just can't not do this shit. In addition, though, you have the odd things here or there that are just like oddities. Like the My Little Pony Transformers crossover series they did. Friendship Meet. In Disguise.
yes, that's, I'm here for that title. That's brilliant.
You know, they've done Angry Birds Transformers.
They did
Mars Attacks Transformers.
Neato.
Transformers Back to the Future. Transformers versus the Terminator. They've had crossovers with Ghostbusters and a bunch of other shit, and you know, it's all pretty much what you'd expect in that regard.
Do Transformers have ghosts? Are there ghost Transformers? Isn't that just like a backup of a program? Is that Wi-Fi?
I mean, you know, I think it depends by what. So you have Starscream. Who, even though his body is destroyed, he appears again in the original Generation 1 cartoon as a ghost, and in Beast Wars winds up taking over the body of Waspinator for an episode.
Now, I like the way they did that in Beast Wars, Beasties, by having, like, it's his spark. His spark is just wandering free. And it's right. Like, yeah, I'm sure, you know, obviously spark equals soul. But it's also, like, because these are robots, it's a physical piece.
Yeah.
You know, it's effectively their mainframe because it remembers things and holds their personality.
Well, therein lies the rub of it all, in that, you know, there again with Dinobot 2, his memories were backed up, but his spark was half of Rampage's. Yeah. So with the programming winds up winning out, but I don't know. I think ultimately it kind of becomes both, I guess. I don't know.
It's whatever the writer needs it to be.
Well, yeah, there is that. I do want to talk about Rung, though. Rung is interesting. Because he is a character that's introduced aboard the Lost Light, and he is a psychologist. He is constantly psychoanalyzing the other Transformers. And he transforms into a rod. He is literally like he's basically a metal stick when he transforms. And so it's actually kind of funny because when the functionalists are running Cybertron, he has to walk around with a fake wheel plastered to his back in order to convince people he has an actual alt mode. But yeah, he's literally, hence the name Rung. He is just a metal rod. But but haha, he's actually Primus.
Got you fuckers.
Yeah, it's a whole thing because at one point he gets his head blown off, and they kind of piece him back together. The weird thing about it is in that IDW continuity, parts are not replaceable unless they are. That makes sense. There's a whole thing for a while about Ratchet's hands are not working as well, and he's not going to be able to be a surgeon anymore because his hands can't physically do what they need to do. And he's resigned himself to it, but then they have a run-in with another doctor who's just gone off the fucking deep end, and they kill him, cut off his hands, and give them to Ratchet.
As you do, as is normal.
You know,
I believe that's how every surgeon is promoted. You find the oldest in residence, and you fucking slaughter them.
Yeah, why not? I don't know. There's just all of these interesting little things that they added. And that's not something that generally happens in Transformers anymore. Usually it's just recycling the same shit. But this, they were actually adding stuff. And I look forward to seeing what actually becomes part of Transformers canon, like Sparks did following Beasties. You know, it's going to be interesting. Time will tell. Like I said, I can't say anything about the 2019 continuity because I don't care. I just don't care.
And like, you know, you always need a bridge to somewhere. And we're in on the bridge to somewhere period for it, which is a great time to have talked about all this because you're probably not missing out on much, but there was something there for a while. And hoo boy, did it try everything and succeed at enough.
Yeah. And I will give them credit. They introduced original characters. They folded existing characters from disparate continuities into their overarching storyline. So you had Beast Wars characters. You had, characters from Car Robots, Robots in Disguise. You had characters from all of these different things that appeared all together for the first time. And that's a lot of fun too. Just sucks about RC.
Well, at least that seemed to have gotten memory hold.
Well, it never got memory hold as such. They realized how bad a job they'd done, and they're just like, she's here now. We can't pretend that didn't happen. But let's see if we can salvage it. And later on, she begins a lesbian relationship with Optimus Prime's personal assistant, Aileron.
Neat.
And just, oh, you know, like, she gets better. She's not, it's not quite so like, I'm going to kill everybody because of what was done to me. And that's a step up, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's positive. I mean, they haven't like addressed the potential trauma of that, nor I assume had the illegitimate trans character have a discussion with her about any of this.
So far as I know, they never met. Trying to recall. I don't think they were ever actually in the same place at the same time. I don't know. That may have been a choice of like, we're just going to keep her over here, away from that mess.
Yeah, don't draw attention to it. If people start making connections, we might have to remember the dumb thing we did.
Yeah.
But the cat's out of the bag now in the sense of like, well, it's part of Transformers. And as you say, like, you know, stuff gets pulled into Transformers and like forgotten and then pulled back in and forgotten and pulled back in. So we're going to see it come back up again. It's part of Transformers, and Transformers at its best will always keep growing and changing and then stagnating.
Well, you know, yeah. It is what it is. I hope they can get there.
It's pretty good for what was essentially supposed to just be a fucking toy line in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, this stuff has brought me a lot of enjoyment, you know. Even when it hasn't been great, there's still been, I mean, you look at, like, Transformers Armada. Transformers Armada was rushed out and not great, but did some interesting things, like Starscream defecting to the Autobots and stuff like that. Never really went anywhere, because he still had, you know, all those daddy issues with Megatron. But, you know, it was still an interesting thought. And, you know, the idea of the Autobot Decepticon War being manipulated from the outside by Unicron and things like that. Even at its worst, there are interesting ideas finding their way in. You know, so I don't know. I will always carry around a deep and abiding love for this bullshit. Even as I refuse to give them money, I will still look at new toys coming out and be like, oh, that's cool, but I'm just not going to buy it. you know, no matter how much I want an arc, but whatever.
Yeah, and if, dear listener, you are interested in like, well, maybe checking it out, there's probably at least like a mini series, a spin-off mini series or tie-in or something that'll catch your eye. I definitely, though, highly suggest the Megatron Origins.
Yeah,
it may be all downhill technically from there. There sounds like there's other ones that I haven't gotten to in the IDW run that sound fantastic, and I want to get to that. But like, when they're good, that's a damn fine comic.
They can be insanely good, and they can be really, really fucking bad.
Yeah.
A lot of the spotlights early on were not great.
Yeah, and the copies that I downloaded, it's a an Era 1, Era 2, Era 3, and it seems to be in generally in chronological order is how they're doing it. So the whole thing begins with Megatron Origins, and then the rest of the book are spotlights. And so I'm trying to read, like, you know, oh my god, I finished Megatron Origins, that was great, I wonder what comes next. Spotlight, fuck this.
Yeah, it was a period where there was a whole lot of bullshit going on, and it became very disjointed. And they tried to use the spotlights to continue the overarching storyline they were working on. And so in a few cases, that wound up where you would have a spotlight book that was like named for a specific character, but they would appear on maybe three pages of it because they were more concerned about the overarching storyline right then. They're not great.
No. And like, it's a dramatic loss in drawing quality. The drawing, the animation, the what have you, the art in Megatron Origins is miles beyond the spotlights, which are like, they're fine, but that's the thing, they're fine.
Yeah. Well, and for that, with that, it was the spotlights wound up, you know, your ongoings would have a creative team, and so if the creative team was good, they'd be putting out some stuff that was worth reading consistently. If they weren't, Mike Costa, they would be putting out stuff that was not so great. And you'd kind of just wade through that to get to eventually some better stuff. Whereas the spotlights tended to be one and done stories by a random creative team, unless they were trying to do the Dark Cybertron story or Stormbringer at that point in time, in which case they were probably written by Simon Furman. But yeah, so you wound up having huge swings in terms of quality from issue to issue during those. And honestly, a whole lot of it wound up just being forgettable bullshit.
Yeah, and like that's kind of like, yeah, when I say that, like, people will find something in this, you'll find one or two things, everyone will find one or two things, but I very much doubt that everything is for you. The last three episodes worth of like decades of comic books, you'll find something, but don't try to sit down and read them all, because oh my
I am built for deep dives. I will sit there. I wish that were my job, would just be to sit there and go deep with the lore of a series, because I do that all the time. The last time I read the IDW stuff, it was literally I sat down and started at Infiltration and made my way forward from there and just read it and read it and read it and read it. You know, occasionally reading a random issue of something else, but by and large, I'd be just sitting there absorbing every single fucking bit of it.
And I love a good binge, but on something that has a coherent story, please.
Oh, well, yeah, no, you that's know, like, not this.
From beginning to end.
That is not this. yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, what does have a coherent story, somewhat, is what we're covering next week. It's a return to the Star Wars universe for a special one-off. It's Shadows of the Empire and everything that came with that.
That is a whole can of worms.
it's a bunch of different cans, or it's a bunch of different containers of worms. There's a can of worms. There's like an old, like a pop, one's a pop can of worms. One's an old screw top can of worms. There's a jar of worms. There's preserved worms. There's fresh sock worms. Full of worms. There's so many options.
Just a random shot.
Exactly. There are so many options if you want worms.
So if you want worms, feel free to to tune into that. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at MO Marketing, I believe.
yeah.
Like us on Facebook. Email us at multiversomarketing@gmail.com. If you have something that you would like to see us cover, feel free to let us know and it might be added to the list. Other than that, you know, like, share, and subscribe or whatever. You know, do the podcast stuff. That's my call to action for the episode. Do the podcast stuff.
Do the stuff. Do the thing. We never figured out what the fuck a Transformer is, though, but I feel like it's been a productive three episodes.
What the fuck a Transformer is?
What the fuck is a Transformer?
Anything? I mean, you know, there is... This is one of those things where if you try to draw a line around what a Transformer is, you're going to be leaving things out, because... Is it a robot that transforms into something else? Well, Action Masters are technically Transformers, and they don't transform. Their vehicles do. So is that Transformers? Yes. But I don't know. Ultimately, I think when it's all said and done, a Transformer is whatever Hasbro puts the Transformers branding on.